Each of the gospel writers has their own ancient symbol. The symbol for Matthew, which begins our church year this year, is the winged angel. Mark is a lion. If you go to Venice, St. Mark's Square, you'll see the lions there. Luke is the ox. And St. John, the Gospel of St. John, is always symbolised by the eagle. So Matthew, this is the year of Matthew. I want to tell you a little bit about Matthew so that when you hear the readings during the course of the year, you will understand, I hope, a little bit more of how we become involved in the life of the Gospel. Firstly, Matthew's is the longest Gospel, 28 chapters. So, and the Gospel that you've just, the reading that you've just heard, came at the 24th chapter. So it's right towards the end of Matthew's Gospel, just before his Passion. Here we are leading into Advent, coming into Christmas scenes and getting over Black Friday sales. Yet there's no reference to baby Jesus or anything like that. In Matthew, we have one version of Jesus' birth. In Luke's Gospel, we have another version of Jesus' birth. Mark's Gospel and John's Gospel do not refer to it. They refer to Jesus' coming, but they do not refer to his birth, only Matthew and Luke. So what's the difference between Matthew and Luke's version of Jesus' birth? In Matthew's Gospel, it is written, the birth of Jesus, through the eyes of Joseph. In Luke's version of the birth of Jesus, it is written through the eyes of Mary. Very different. So when we're hearing the Gospel of Matthew during the course of the year, just remember that we're starting off from Joseph's experience. The next thing that I'd ask you to try to remember is that Matthew's is the only gospel that refers to ecclesia, which is the Greek word for the church. It is the only gospel that mentions the church. And that is probably the reason why when the canonists put the New Testament readings together, that they moved Matthew to the very first gospel reading. When in fact we know that, well, most scholars agree, that Mark's is the first gospel. It is the oldest gospel. Matthew based his gospel primarily on Mark's gospel and another document called Q, which we've never ever discovered. But it's obvious that it's there because Mark and Luke and Matthew all refer to it. So we know a little bit more about Matthew. It was written 85 years after Jesus' birth. So Jesus was 50 years dead and resurrected. About 50 years. So a lot of the people that Matthew was writing to would already have died. 50 years in the Mediterranean world at that time was a long time. So his audience. His audience is primarily Jewish Christians. They weren't called Christian at that stage, but they were well aware, most of them, of their Jewish heritage. Therefore, the customs, the ritual, the language that comes from the Jewish synagogue world. So Matthew includes all of that. He's very particular to highlight the Jewish heritage of Jesus. Now, the people that he wrote to, as I said, most of them, by 50 years after Jesus' death, most of them would have died as well. So he's writing to a new audience, a relatively new audience, who had some Jewish heritage, but a lot who didn't. And it seems most scholars are now agreeing that the gospel was written in Antioch, not Antioch in Turkey, but Antioch in Syria. So that's a non-Jewish city, a non-Jewish region. So Matthew is writing to non-Jews, primarily. Keeping those things in mind, how does that affect us? Well, if he's the only one that uses church and he's writing to non-Jewish people, and to Jewish Christians, of course, but primarily, that's what unlocks our entry into not just Matthew's gospel, but into the life and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Because it is through Matthew that we see that the church that he mentions is bigger and beyond just the 12 apostles. That's very important. Because during the course of this year, we are going to realise that we are the heritage of those first people, not just the apostles, as important as they are. But Matthew sees the church way beyond those 12 instrumental men. And so we are included in his audience, being, most of us, non-Jewish, and not being there to see or witness and experience the life and time of Jesus. We are going in faith because of what has been passed on to us. That is bigger than the church, though it is certainly rooted in the apostles. And I like that because it means I'm now involved. I am no longer, as you are, no longer an observer when you hear these gospels. You are involved in the life of the church that Matthew is referring to and draws us into. So we try to tie that into the time of Advent. Well, because we have no reference to Jesus' birth today, but we've started to put the crib bits and pieces together, it's the beginning of the church's year, so we refer, as Matthew does, to the second coming, or the coming of the Son of Man. So we are in that in-between time, between Jesus' birth and when he returns to us. It's the in-between time. It is the same from the prophet Isaiah, the first reading. The people of Israel had been exiled in Babylon. The temple had been destroyed. And they are in that in-between time when they will return, as they do, to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. They were in that in-between time. So he uses the image of light. At the moment, we seem to be in darkness, but we are going to be returning into the light, the kingdom of light in Jerusalem. Fast forward to the gospel, and you've got Jesus talking about Noah. And he uses the reference to Noah because it is the waiting and being, in the language of the Bible, being vigilant. And being vigilant means to observe and to listen, the eyes and the ears. Very important. So Advent for us is the time of fine-tuning our eyes, our vision, and fine-tuning our hearing so that we can be vigilant. That is, we can see the presence of God and hear his word in our life. And ultimately, of course, as church, do something with it. Not sit on it and file it away, but actually do something with it. That's what Advent is all about. The coming, sure. The only thing we know about the second coming of Jesus Christ is that only God knows. That's it. So don't be going to your crystal ball or to look at your star sign to find out when it's going to be or what's going to happen in the future. The Mediterranean mind in Jesus' time never, ever looked to the future. They lived in the here and now. Our complication is that we look to the future all the time. We're constantly preparing for our retirement. Bring it on. Our superannuation or the next promotion, finishing school so I can start university, finishing university so I can finally get a wage. We in the West look to the future for everything, even planning our death. You can organise your funeral well in advance. But in the Mediterranean biblical world, they lived in the here and now. So they are in that in-between time and we are in the same now. We've got to focus on fine-tuning the here and now with our eyes and our ears. Look for God's presence and listen for his speaking. Listen for his word in your life. That's what Advent is about. And then post-Christmas, it's about doing something with it. And for us in this parish, we are hopefully going to focus very much on supporting those communities in our archdiocese and beyond who are suffering so badly because of the drought. And that's why our tree this year is not a green spruce or something like that. It's a dead eucalyptus tree. And underneath it, you will see that there are seven ribbons, all of different colours, which are the standard ribbons that people wear. They're made in the banner here as well. That people wear to raise awareness. Now, when you go up, I want you to put your own ribbons there. They're all laid out there for you. And the meaning of each one is there, including the poppy that we always remember our war dead and those that are serving at the moment as well. You can place those and dress our tree up. There are the standard colours represent things like suicide awareness. There's not a person in this church who hasn't been touched by suicide in some way, shape or form. I'd be very surprised if there wasn't. There isn't somebody in this church who hasn't been touched by cancer in their family or friends, in your circle. So there's a colour there to represent all the cancers. There are people there who live with depression. And so there's a colour there to make us more aware. And all of these things are highlighted, I think, because of this drought in rural communities. We must be touched by what is changing their life. They are, many of them, in darkness at the moment. And each of us individually and especially collectively may be the ones in this Advent season to bring light into their life. We can do that. We are looking for Jesus in our life and we are listening for his word in our life. And we can do something about it. And this is a small way of reminding us that we can do. The big way, of course, is supporting the Vinnie DePaul collection for the drought and the way that you assist, as you always so generously do, with the hampers. That's our parish mission this Advent. Where it ends up, we don't know. You'll notice that there's no star on top of our Christmas tree. It's an upside-down umbrella. And we're praying for rain to get that umbrella up the other way.